Peace be with you. With all due respect is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Christopher Johnson. In this worship service, coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, we invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. Service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 801 in the Lutheran Service Book. The organist is Cantor Irene Beathy. The vocalists are Rick Hovda, Cindy Reuter, and Jim Specker. The trumpet is played by Chad Primo. The lector is Lynn Budnick. The broadcast of today's service is sponsored by Maureen and Rosalind Rouse in loving memory of their mother, Laurel Carzell Rouse. Laurel joined the Heavenly Chorus on October 1, 2015.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 80.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
We have brought our honor from Egypt. We cast off the nations and planted them.
You prepared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the tall cedar trees by its boughs.
You stretched out its tendrils to the sea, and its branches to the river.
Why have you broken down its walls, so that all eyes pluck out its grapes?
The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it.
Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold, and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted.
They burn it with fire like rubbish. At the rebuke of your countenance, let them perish.
Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the Son of Man.
And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes'? Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator. Conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In response to the Word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, O Love, How Deep, hymn number 544 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my years growing up, I was taught by my parents to have a healthy respect for adults, grandparents, for those who serve in society. This, of course, is what the fourth commandment is all about. Honor your father and mother. It applies certainly to our parents, especially as they get on in years, but it also applies to others in positions of authority. We are to give respect to whom respect is owed. To not respect people who deserve our respect is to belittle their gifts and their position of authority. After all, the many forms of authority at work in the world are a gift from God, without which human societies would not be able to survive and thrive and flourish. And certainly there does come a point in time in which an authority oversteps their God-given bounds and must be held to accountability. But generally speaking, authority is a blessing from God. Without authority and the respect authorities are owed, we would be looking at a constant state of chaos. In fact, every world power that has ruled some fraction of land throughout recorded history have one thing in common. Their fall was marked by a descent into chaos, a descent into dishonoring authority, a descent into civil wars, wanton bloodshed, and a loss of whatever power they thought they had. When authority isn't honored, the seeds of rebellion and anarchy can easily bloom. Or to put it another way, when authority isn't honored and respected, God withholds his sovereign mercy, and then his wrath runs deep and catches many in the undertow. This is what Jesus is warning the religious leaders of his day all about. Jesus warns them the best way he could with a parable. He tells a parable that is about these religious leaders, but they don't realize that it's about them right away. At the end of the parable is where Jesus really gets them. He asks them in verse 40, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants that killed the servants, killed the son?" And these men, these religious leaders, you can think just how smug they are as they're about to answer. They're grinning ear to ear because they think Jesus is talking about someone else and not them. And then boom, here comes the dig. Here comes the indictment spoken with their own lips. And they say, "The owner will put those wretches to a miserable death." Who are the wretches? It's them. It's them. And why are they being judged? Because like the tenants in the parable, these leaders and the generations before them have no respect for any of God's prophets. Not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, who we just heard from in chapter 5, that scathing rebuke against Israel. Not Hosea, not Zechariah, not Amos, not any of the prophets, but also not John the Baptist, the cap of the Old Testament prophecy. Something we heard about in last week's gospel lesson. But what's worse, what is far, far worse, is that they have no respect for the Son. They have no respect for the owner, the owner's son of the vineyard. They have no respect for Jesus Christ. And because they don't respect Jesus, they ultimately have no respect for the Father, the Lord God Almighty. And because of this, they were flirting with the very judgment of God. And when you flirt with the judgment and the wrath of God, you will never come out on top. As it was for these religious leaders 2,000 years ago, as they witnessed and saw everything taken away from them, as the Romans ran roughshod over Jerusalem in 70 AD, the same holds true today. Disrespecting the Son of God always has and will always lead to this outcome. If not now, then in eternity. Now, years ago, thinking about respect and authority, I vividly remember being at the ice rink, a place I often was, at Wilson Park in Milwaukee. I was probably 9 or 10, and my brother was 7 or 8. And there was something going on that I didn't really know what was going on, but my father did. He told me that my little brother was being picked on by a couple of the bigger kids on his team. My brother was a good little hockey player, but he was a little guy. He's not so little anymore. He's taller than I am, which isn't a very hard accomplishment, of course. But back then, I really was the big brother. And so a big brother must do what a big brother must do, because a son of my father was disrespected. To disrespect the son is to disrespect the father. An affront to the integrity of the son is an affront to the integrity of the father. A slight or an insult made against the son is a slight or an insult made against the father. And so I had to approach these bullies. I told them, knock it off, or else. Of course, I don't know what I would have actually done if they didn't listen to me. I don't know what the "or else" would have been, but thanks be to God, they did listen to me, and they knocked off their bullying. After all, I played goalie, which is the least aggressive position on the ice rink. So these bullies, they knocked off their shenanigans, and then they showed me respect as a big kid, and they also respected my brother. And through all of this, the respect that my father had lost was regained. And turning back to Jesus' parable, Jesus is confronting these religious leaders using this parable because of their refusal of not only refusing to acknowledge the prophets of God that he sent year after year, time and time again, but ultimately the Son of God who's standing right before them, probably not even appropriately socially distanced away. There is Jesus right there in front of them, and they have no respect for him. And if they didn't respect the Son, then they certainly didn't respect the Father. Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 5. He said, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Father." So whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. In our parable for today, Jesus, he provides no wiggle room for the religious leaders of his day. Jesus provides no wiggle room also for those who want to water down the ultimate authority and the power of the Son of God. No one can approach Jesus and say, "Well, with all due respect, Jesus, I know that you're saying all these things and doing all these things, but I really think you're overvaluing your importance. I mean, yes, you're a son of a father, but a son of the Father, the Lord God Almighty. I mean, come on, Jesus, aren't there many paths to get to God? Why must everyone go through you?" Anyone who approaches the one true God revealed in the work and the person of Jesus Christ and says to this God, "With all due respect," truly shows no respect at all. Because to not honor the Son is to not honor the Father. To not respect the eternal Son of God is to not respect the eternal Father. To not respect the Son of God is to throw your dice and you will never get a 7 and you will never get an 11 and you will always get snake eyes. To not respect the Son of God is to pour gasoline on God who is an all-consuming fire, as we hear in the Scriptures. To not respect the Son of God is to invite God to be a bull in the china shop of our lives. There's no sugarcoating it. This parable teems with judgment. And it's precisely right here, folks, that this parable is so important to understand. In the parable, the owner, God, sends servants, the prophets, to check on the fruit of the vine. The tenants in the parable, the religious leaders, kill the servants of the owner. And in response to this, the owner would have been perfectly justified sending an armed militia to mercilessly slay all these terrible, wicked tenants. But he doesn't. He does something unheard of. He sends his son to perhaps bring peace between the owner and the tenants. If the tenants kill the other servants, surely they won't kill the son, will they? But they do. They kill the son. In the same way, the Lord God Almighty would be perfectly justified in wiping sinful humanity off the face of the earth for crucifying the Son of God. The Lord God Almighty would have been perfectly justified in sending all the whole hosts of heaven to rain judgment after judgment upon this earth until there was nothing left, but he didn't. He didn't. Even though the eternal Son of God is killed, what does the Father do? He raises him up. He raises him up, he places him at his right hand, and then the Son comes to us, comes to you again and again and again. The Son comes to us again and again, rebels all. He comes to us again and again in the Word, in the sacraments. Because not even death dissuades this God from making peace with you, with this world. Though his divine blood was shed, it was shed that peace would come, not at the cost of your life, but at the cost of his. Though the Son of God is still mocked by unbelievers and not duly respected by some who claim to be Christian, what does the Father do? Will he send an army of angels? No, not yet, but that day will come when Christ returns. No, the Father again and again sends the Son, as he is doing now, through preaching, through the sacraments, through the beauty of sacred music, through the mission and the ministry of his church, that you would receive his inheritance, the boundless riches of his mercy. And all of you gathered here this morning are proof of that. Through holy baptism, you receive the advance of your inheritance, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to be at work in you and through you, making you holy, helping you produce good fruits for the sake of glorifying your God and Father, helping you to respect this beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ, with all you are and with all that you have, so that you can say like St. Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, everything is rubbish, garbage, compared to my Lord Jesus. It's like God saying to us, with all due respect, I'm not finished with you. Neither am I finished with this world. The work of salvation is done. But there are many who need to be found, many who need to see, cherish, receive, believe, and respect the Son of God as Lord and Savior. People of God, the Lord will not stop until all knees bow to Christ. Some will bow in reverence and worship and with all respect. Others will not. They had their chance, indeed many chances. But people of God, that day is not today. Today is the day of grace, in which the Father sends his Son to you again to pour out his mercy, his love, his grace this very day. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, you have planted us as your own vineyard, that we might bear good fruit for your glory. Grant to us grace, that we may be faithful and show forth in our lives the good works that glorify you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, embolden us by your Spirit, that we may give witness to your mighty acts. Bless the missionaries who bring the gospel to people who have not heard, and raise up faithful pastors who will nurture the congregations in their care with your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, rescue us from all enemies of your church, and bless us with leaders whose voices will not waver in the face of threat. Inspire men and women to go into church work vocations, and bless those preparing for such church work. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, guide husbands and wives to love and forgive each other, and strengthen them in their life together. Bless the homes of all of your people where they dwell. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, deliver the sick from illness. Give relief to the suffering. Help the troubled to know peace of mind, and be with the grieving and all those in their final days. Guide all healthcare professionals to serve those in need, and give patience to those who must bear with their infirmities disabilities, and infertility. Hear us, Lord, especially as we pray for Hilmer, Karen, Carl, Les, Mary, and Rich, for Ruth, Carol, Barbara, Dennis, Rita, and Ben, for Ken, Avery, Olivia, Deborah, Grace, and Maggie, for Tina, Barb, Michael, Trandy, and Krista, for Verna, David, Richie, Kurt, and Lexi, for Mark, Nancy, Jim, Richard, Nancy, and Lynette, for Mike, and for Zion's homebound members, Lord, in your mercy. With reverence and affection, we remember before you, O everlasting God, all our departed friends and relatives. Keep us in union with them here through faith and love towards you, that hereafter we may enter into your presence and be numbered with those who serve you and look upon your face in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The congregation prepares for the Blessed Sacrament of Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we do not come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Grant us so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may ever dwell in him,
and he in us. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
In the same way, also after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them to drink, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death.
Two hymns will be sung by the vocalists during the distribution. Let us break bread together, and Christ is our cornerstone. Join us at the same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Sunday school is being held in person at 10 a.m. as well as online. Check us out on Facebook for live streamed events or visit our website www.zionlutheranwasa.com. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 83 years. And the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
May our Savior Jesus Christ be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.